Hey there, this is Zach from Cornerstone Assembly in Truro, Nova Scotia. Thanks for checking out this message. If you're looking for more information about our church, check us out online at truochurch.ca. Now to the message.
In our youth ministry over the past 2 weeks, we've been doing a series on worship as well. And we've been teaching students and young people what it means to worship God. And I don't know if you guys have known this, but we've had about 10 students this year come into our youth group that have no relationship with Jesus Christ, that have never been to church before. Last week, I had a conversation with two students, one from Colombia, the other one from Korea, and they said, I have never even been to a church before. I've never even known what worship is before. And here we are on a Tuesday night, worshiping God and praising God and lifting hands to God and talking about who God is. And they say, I don't really know what this means, but I really like the songs. I really like the words, and I'm liking what's going on here. And they're beginning to understand, they're beginning to engage with that. We do more than that throughout the week. The reason I bring this up is because we do a lot of study. We do a lot of different things. We look at a lot of different resources throughout the week. And so this message today, it comes from a lot of different places. You know, I pull from different pieces that we get I believe God is using to speak into my heart. And this one in particular comes from a message from Craig Rochelle called, What Would Jesus Undo? And I believe that Jesus would undo hollow worship. Last week, we talked about worship as warfare. It's such an important tool in your life and mine to begin to find freedom in every part of life. And we saw that last week that when we worship, God works. And when we praise, freedom follows. Anybody got that with me this morning? When we worship, God... Let's do that again, folks. When we worship, God... And when we praise, freedom follows. When we worship, God works. And when we praise, freedom follows. Because worship is a weapon God's given you for warfare. If you missed that message last week, I want to encourage you, go on the website, check it out. We got it on there so you can listen to it and catch up. But this week, I want to help you become a better worshiper so that you can see this truth lived out in your life every day. The Bible says that God is in the praises of his people and that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I don't know about you, but I want some freedom in my life. I don't know about you, but I want some freedom in my life from anxiety, from stress, from guilt, and from shame. I want freedom in my life in every area of life. And if freedom is found in worship, then how can you and I become worshipers so we can experience that freedom wherever we go? I want to show you this morning in two famous conversations that Jesus has with a couple of different people in the book of John. First of all, John, because there's this woman at this well, he has this famous conversation. You and I have probably heard it before. John chapter 4, I'll have it on the screen up there for you today. He says to this woman, the time is coming. The time is coming, and indeed it's actually here right now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. Notice this, the Father is looking for worshipers. The Father isn't looking for gifted speakers, smart leaders, good teachers. The Father is looking for worshipers. He's looking for people who worship him in spirit and in truth. You might say, Zach, look, that's great and all, but I'm not much of a worshiper. Look, I really love the Bible part of church. I love the teaching part of church. I love the community part of church. You know what my favorite part of church is? I love the coffee part of church and the free donuts in the back. Well, baking is amazing. We have a great baking team here at Cornerstone every single week. You might say, that's my favorite part of church, and I wouldn't blame you. But if you're feeling that you're not a worshiper, you're thinking, that's just not me. I'm here to tell you today, yes, you are. You are a worshiper because everyone is a worshiper. Because worship is simply a response to what matters most to us in life. And that response, that expression, shows what we value and what is worthwhile to us. A little while ago, a couple weeks ago, I was with Alandra and we were deciding to watch this documentary on this small up-and-coming pop group you may have heard of called the Jonas Brothers. Anybody have heard of these guys? This small up-and-coming pop group called the Jonas Brothers. And if you don't know this, the Jonas Brothers, they recently reunited. They came back together. They broke up for a number of years because Disney did crazy things with their thing. And we were watching this documentary on them getting back together again. They're like this pop stars and whatnot. And as we were watching this documentary, they showed all of this footage of their when they first were becoming famous. And they're this 16-year-old boy band. And they see them in the malls. And they see them beginning to get some notoriety. And then you begin to see... Anybody know where I'm going with this? The fans. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. The screaming, crazy fans that are just throwing themselves on. They got the signs, they got the t-shirts, they're slobbering down their faces, they're yelling, they're screaming, they're shouting, there's snot coming out of their everything, and it's just amazing, amazing response to these boy bands up there. And as I was watching these crowds begin to just throw themselves at the Jonas Brothers and try to get close as possible, I thought two things. Number one, they look absolutely ridiculous. Agreed? Agreed? Agreed. Number two, though, they are full-on worshiping, aren't they? Absolutely they are. Way more than what we see often in church. They are worshiping and just throwing themselves on them. Why? Because we as humans are worshipers. We can't help it. It's who we are. It's what we were created to be. You're probably thinking, well, you know what? I thought this is just something we do in church. I thought that was just the music portion before the guy comes up to talk. I thought that's what worship was. Nope, everyone does it. Old, young, Christians, atheists, all of us worship because worship is responding. That is clapping, raising your hands, shouting, singing. It is responding to what matters most to you and I in life. Worship is a response, and we all do it. We all worship something. But let's be honest for a second. The response that we see at sports games, at concerts, at stadiums, man, that's really good worship, isn't it? It's really good worship. It's enthusiasm, excitement, reverence, praise, shouting. It's really good worship. The problem is it's being offered to a really bad God. It's being offered to not depict on any one artist, but to artists, to people. We all do it. We'll worship money, security, image, worship family time even. Some of these things we bring together like that, and we bring good worship to bad gods. And then we come into church, to a setting like this, and we offer bad worship to a good God. Mediocre worship, perhaps. Stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords, bored and distracted, thinking about lunch. What's for lunch? Not really sure what's going on there. And when we do that, I think what we're actually end up doing is bringing an empty gift before God. A couple years ago, when I was at Christmas time, coming up to Christmas, my mom would put the presents under the tree, you know, like a week before Christmas started. How many do this? How many already have your Christmas shopping done? Anybody here? Any keeners? Christmas shopping done? One, two, all right. The rest of us will be out there Christmas Eve, right, getting those things done. My mom was always on top of it. She'd always put the gifts under the trees early. She'd always make sure that they were wrapped really nice. But my sister and I, what we would always do is we would go and we'd grab the gifts and you shake them, right? You pick them up and you shake it and you try to figure out what's in this gift. You try and you figure out, is it something good? Is it something bad? And typically, a good thing to know, if it's got some weight to it, it's probably a pretty good gift, right? Come on. Yeah, anybody? You know, like looking for like heavy gifts under the tree? Look at mine, Cindy. Look how big this one is. And like, mine's only this big. What's the deal? And so what we started to do, though, my mom started to realize that she got caught wind of it. She caught wind and said, well, you guys, you know, as you're getting older, some of the gifts you want, you know, it's like you want a gift card. And if I put it in this little case, you know exactly what it is. And so what she would do, she'd get a shoebox, and she'd put the gift card in the shoebox, but then she'd go into the garden, and she'd get rocks. And she'd fill the shoebox with rocks. And so that when you picked up the gift, it was like 30 pounds. This massive gift, and you could barely lift it under the tree. So we're lifting it up, like, oh my gosh, this gift is so heavy. What's in it? You've got no, and she'd wrap it so beautifully. She'd wrap it so nicely. It's covered up so excellently with a bow and everything. It looked like an amazing gift. And then when you open it up on the inside, you realize it's a box full of rocks. And on the bottom was a gift card. It was a pretty good gift still. Pretty good gift. But, you know, it feels like it's got a lot of substance to it, even though it's actually mostly empty. And I wonder sometimes if that's the type of worship, if that's the type of gift we're bringing before our God. What if the songs that we sing, the acts of service that we do, our attendance at church are empty gifts to our God? What if we're so concerned about the way things look, or the way things should feel, or the songs that we sing, that as a result, we're missing the heart of worship, bringing an empty gift before our God? Because sometimes when it comes to worship, I think we're more concerned with the appearance than we ought to be. We want to look a certain way, we want to feel a certain way, it's got to have certain style, certain songs, and then it's a good gift. And as a result, the worship becomes mostly concerned with appearances instead of what's on the inside and instead of what's on the heart. And it leaves us feeling empty and hollow instead of filled up, built up, and free. But when it comes to finding freedom in your life and mine, I believe nothing is more important than understanding what true worship really is. Because I can honestly say there are few things in my life that have caused me to find freedom and strength in my moments of darkness more than understanding what it means to worship God. Because when I worship, God works. And when I praise, freedom follows. I want to help you this morning become a better worshiper, so this morning you can experience the freedom that follows when you and I discover what it means to be a true worshiper of God. So what I want to do this morning is I want to show you two conversations that Jesus has. Two conversations quickly, and then we're going to conclude with some time for you to actually put this into practice and to do some worship here today. I want to show you two conversations. One with somebody who did not think they were a very good worshiper, and the second conversation with somebody else who thought they were a great worshiper. And we're going to see what Jesus says to each of these two individuals as he begins to talk about what it means to become a true worshiper. The first story I want to show you is in John chapter 4. We already read the passage this morning. We're going to continue to look at that here today. If you have your Bibles, would you open them up with me to John chapter 4? And as you do so, let me tell you a little bit about this story. John chapter 4. We're introduced to this woman that Jesus is talking to at a well in a place called Samaria. First things first, he should not be here. It's scandalous for Jesus to even be in Samaria. He's a Jew. She's a Samaritan. They do not get along. They have a tense history. These people don't talk to one another. And yet here, he comes to this woman, and they're having this conversation at the well. And then in John chapter 4, verse 19, the woman asks him this question about worship. "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So you tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it's over here at this other place in Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worship?" Now, just for some context, this is the equivalent of debating politics at Christmas dinner. This is an uncomfortable, tense conversation. It's got some history behind it. And so she asked Jesus, "My worship is one way, your worship is another way. But Jesus, you seem to have some sense of authority in the matter. You seem to be a prophet, so you tell me, which one is right? What's the best way to worship God? Because you've got your temple in Jerusalem with your customs and your styles and your practices, and my people say that this is the only way to worship God over here with my customs and my styles and my practices. And which one do you think is best, Jesus? Which worship is right?" Now, real quick, when most of us think about worship, we think probably about a couple different things. We think, number one, about the songs, right? We think about the songs that we sing, the style choice, maybe, the song choice, the artists, the band. You know, I like this style of worship. I don't like this style of worship. Or we think about the environment. We think about the setting that we might be ourselves in. Is it, you know, in an auditorium? Is it in a small room? Is it in a reverent, honorable way? Is it an exciting praise? Let's dance. Let's get concert band. Very exciting, celebrating the joy of who God is and what he's done for us. More than likely, if you've been to church before, you've probably seen a bit of both. At this church, at different churches. How many have been to a different church and seen a different style of worship than what you saw this morning? Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, come on. Great, yeah, good. Because there are so many different styles of worship, right? I grew up in a church in Edmonton that was a very big church. And so it had concert lighting every single Sunday. You know, a big band was loud and joyous and celebratory. People would dance and sing. There was a lady over on the side that had a tambourine. And she's the whole service. Anybody remember Tambourine Lady? Anybody? Yeah? Oh, I love Tambourine Lady. She was great. During prayer, pre-service prayer, she'd be walking up down the prayer room. She was great. Loved Tambourine Lady. And when she wasn't there, somebody else was there to fix her place. I don't understand how they managed to figure that out. They just had this Tambourine Lady rotation. You could sign up for it. I don't understand. But we had Tambourine Lady, and she was great. She would dance and that, and worship was exciting every Sunday. But in that same service, there would sometimes be moments, all the lights would go down, one guy on the stage with an acoustic guitar, nothing else. And there'd be moments of reverence, be moments of simplicity, and people would get down on their knees, and they'd bow, and they'd lift their hands, and they'd cry before God. In the same service. I remember one time I went to Kenya in 2013 for a short-term missions trip. Let me tell you, Africans know how to worship, man. They know how to get this done. It'd be two-hour worship services, and then they start preaching for another three. It was phenomenal. It was great. Loved it. And we were there in this small little one-room church, this tiny little place, and I don't even know where we were. And we were in this place, and they had this guy on this keyboard. One of these keyboards you'd buy at Yamaha. It's got all the sounds in it, you know, like the drum beats built into the keyboard. Anybody remember this keyboard? Yeah? You press the key, and it goes boom. And so he had these automatic settings. He'd turn the settings on, and the settings are like, they had one drum beat, the same drum beat. Boom, ba-dum, boom, boom, ba-dum, boom, boom. Every single song. Doesn't matter if you're playing Blessed Be Your Name or Be Exalted. It's the same drum beat. Every single song. He's just going on the same line. It was fantastic. And so he's just ripping on this keyboard, having a fantastic time. And then he just says, man, begin to raise your arms and just begin to praise the Lord. Begin to wave them to the Lord. We're like, yeah, great. This is good. It's like, just grab something and begin to wave it to the Lord. Grab a paper. Begin to wave it to the Lord. Whatever we can do. Just grab something near. Begin to wave it to the Lord. And no kidding, no word of a lie, he grabs a chair, lifts it above his head, and begins waving a chair at the front before the Lord. And he is waving a plastic chair as far, I'm like, this guy's going to knock somebody out. So excited and jubilant in his worship before the Lord. So when it comes to worship, when it comes to the styles of worship, we can talk about liturgy, we can talk about a cappella. We can talk about reverence. We can talk about celebration. We can talk about simple and stripped back. We can talk about big band. But you have to agree, in the cultures across the world, in all the different people, even across Truro, there are limitless ways you and I can worship God. So when it comes to our expressions of worship, which style is best? Let's take two examples. Let's take big band, celebratory and rejoices, and let's take acoustic, simple, stripped back. Let's take those two. Which one is best? The answer is both are right, or neither are right if the heart is not right. Let me say that again. Both expressions of worship are right if your heart is right. Both expressions of worship are wrong if your heart is wrong. Because worship is not the songs we sing. Worship is a response to who God is from the heart. And Jesus asks this woman. She comes to him. She says, Jesus, what's the right place? What's the right way? What's the right style, the expression, the song choice to use in worshiping God? Should it be in this type of space, this type of space? And he says, verse 21, look at this. Verse 21. Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter. It doesn't matter what type of worship you use, whether you worship the Father on this mountain or on that mountain, whether you worship God with this type of style or that type of style, it's not about the expression because true worship comes from the heart. Jesus says the time is coming when the externals will no longer matter, whether it's a bright room or a dark room, whether it's a loud band or a simple acoustic guitar, whether it's hymns or whether it's brand new songs. The time is coming, he says in verse 23. Indeed, it's actually here now with me showing up on the scene as the Savior of the world. He says the time is here now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for worshipers who will worship him that way. Look at it. God is looking for worshipers. He's not looking for gifted speakers. He's not looking for smart leaders. He's not looking for teachers. He's looking for worshipers. Are you a worshiper this morning? He's looking for people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, what does that mean, spirit and in truth? To worship in spirit simply means that you are worshiping God from the heart. You're worshiping God with your whole being. The Bible uses a lot of words to describe the inner being of a person, the soul, the spirit, the heart. It's talking about your mind, your will, your emotions. First of all, is your heart in it? That's the question. Is there feeling and emotion involved, or is it just rigorous response and religion? Secondly, to worship in truth means worshiping God with a right understanding of who he is and what actually is required. Sometimes it means putting first things first and second things second, because we will all, at different times, put our personal preferences about worship on the same level and truth as Scripture. And that simply isn't right. Yes, we all have our personal preferences. And listen, we will say sometimes these words. We'll say, you know what? I can't worship unless the songs fit my preference. I can't worship unless, you know, it fits my style and what I like. I can't do it. And listen, it's perfectly fine to have preferences. I have my preferences. You might like celebratory. I might like reverence. Your preferences are fine. But when your preferences hinder you from engaging in God with God in worship, it's not the worship that needs to change, it's your heart. Because true worship that touches the heart of God is not about style of music, it's a reflection of the heart. I remember I went to this young adult church in Edmonton one time. It's a really hip and happening young adult church, and there's really great worship that's happening every week, and you know, there's a really excellent and that sort of thing. And the environment, they put a lot of attention and time into the environment, which is good. You know, we want to create an environment, we want to create an atmosphere for people to engage with God. I want to remove barriers, not build them. And so they create a really great environment for people to engage with God. And in this space, in this environment, while the worship is happening, I'm standing behind this guy. And he's there in front of me, and he's got his Starbucks in one hand, and he's got his phone in the other. And he puts the Starbucks down, and he's raising his hand in worship, and he's texting over here. He's texting on this side. Well, he's raising his hand in worship, and then puts his phone away, grabs the Starbucks, takes a sip, keeps going. Yeah, this is good. Good song. Love this one. It's great. And he's responding in that moment like that. You know, just because he's responding to the environment. He's responding to the songs. He's responding to the way it makes him feel and not to God. And I wonder, if you're honest with yourself, have you found yourself doing this? I wonder, is your heart responding to your favorite song, your favorite style, your favorite band? Or is your heart responding to who God is and what he's done for you? Because true worship is never reliant on the songs, the forms, the styles. True worship is a response to God from the heart. So that's the first point. That's the first point from the first conversation that Jesus makes with that woman at the well. But there's a second one. I told you we'd see it as two conversations this morning. The second conversation is, the first conversation is with a woman who did not think her worship was very good. The second conversation was with a man, a religious man, who thought his worship was great. And so he comes before Jesus, and he's got a question for him. It's in Matthew 15. If you got your Bibles, would you open up to Matthew 15? In Matthew 15, we see a different perspective. So the first woman thinks, man, my worship is not very good. I need to learn how to worship better. The second person comes to Jesus and says, my worship is great. Why don't your boys follow my worship styles? So in Matthew 15, Jesus is with his closest friends. He's with the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law, and they come to him, and they ask him this interesting question. Verse 1. So some Pharisees and some teachers of the religious law, they now arrive from Jerusalem to see Jesus. And they asked him, They disobey our old age tradition, for they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand washing before they eat. Now, what's going on here? Hand washing. Does this have to do with hygiene? Because we should all wash our hands before we eat. It's a good idea. This isn't about that. This isn't about personal hygiene. My wife can attest, I'm a pretty clean guy, except when it comes to the dishes and the house chores. Sometimes I don't do those. But for the most part, I'm a pretty clean guy. I like to wash my hands and be personal hygiene. This is not about that. This is about ceremonial appearances of worship. The Jews believed in order to come into God's presence, you need to be ceremonially clean. You got to make sure that you've got all of your sin and stuff taken care of before you come into God's presence. And so they would go through these extensive washing rituals. It's like a surgeon preparing before surgery. Remember, you see those things like this? They're up their hands forward before them, and they're making sure that they've got their hands all properly scrubbed down. That's what they had to do before they came into God's presence. They believed you had to be very extensively washed out because they became obsessed with the way things looked. They became obsessed with keeping up the facade of a good life. I look good on the outside. I look like I'm a good worshiper. I look like I'm a good Christian because look at the way I wash my hands. Look how clean I come into God's presence. Look at my nice church clothes. Look at me standing in the back with my Bible that's 400 pounds. Look at my appearances and all of these different things that I have as I come into church. I got to make people think I'm a good religious person by my appearance. And so the Pharisees are asking Jesus, why don't your disciples, why do they disobey our old age tradition? Notice, whose tradition is it? Is it God's or is it theirs? Why do your disciples disobey our old age tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand washing before they eat. Jesus, why do your boys not do this? And Jesus unleashes on them. He says, guys, you are not even treating people with respect. Your hearts aren't even showing love to other people. Your hearts aren't even connected to God. And here you are obsessing with externals and the way it looks and the way it feels when internally you're just so far from even connecting with Jesus. And he says, in verse 7, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They give me lip service, but their hearts aren't even in it. Then Jesus says this in verse 9. He says, their worship is a farce. Some translations say, their worship is in vain. For they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. Their worship isn't pleasing to me because they're making it all about externals, all about the way it looks, all about preferences and traditions, when in reality, they're worshiping that more than they're worshiping God. And if you and I aren't careful, we will find ourselves in the exact same place, putting preferences, putting traditions as our center of our worship instead of honoring who God is in our lives. And we worship the form and the appearance, the way it sounds, looks, or feels, because we like a particular style or preference more than anything else. But our hearts aren't in it. Because we're far more concerned with the externals or the expressions than we ought to be. So on the outside, it looks like worship. It looks like devotion because it's like, I want to worship God. I want to press in. But reality is, our hearts aren't connected to Jesus. And Jesus says, they honor me with their lips. Their hearts are far from me. Our worship is actually just a box full of rocks. Feels like it's got a lot of substance. It looks good on the outside, but it's mostly empty. It's not much in it. Because true worship, the heart touches the heart of God. It's not about the style of music, but it's a reflection of the heart. Because worship is not about the songs that we sing. Worship is about the life that you and I live. Worship is not about the songs that we sing. It's about the life that you and I live. And the reality is this. If you're a mature follower of Jesus, you should be able to worship no matter what setting you find yourself in. No matter where you find yourself, whether it's in a reverent liturgical parish or a rockin' worship concert, whether you are alone at the dining room table or you're together with us in a park, whether you are worshiping God in the bedroom, the bathroom, the boardroom, the back room, wherever you might find yourself, true worship never relies on externals because true worship comes from the heart. It's not reliant on your environment. It's not reliant on the band. It's not reliant on the song choice, whether you're sick, sobbing, or dancing. We can pray God in every situation because true worship comes from the heart, not from our external circumstances. But then, hear me this morning, but then it requires a response. Listen, true worship is not reliant on the external, but it shows itself in the external. True worship is a response to what matters to us most. And if there's no response, there's no worship. I got a friend of mine in the city that is probably the most flat affect person I've ever met. Anybody know somebody like this? You know, they don't have much emotional response to things you might say to them, whatever. And he says the most ridiculous things, too, with like a sarcastic, flat tone. I really had to get used to him before I could understand what he was saying. So I'd say to him, like, hey, man, we're going to the mall. You want to come with us? And he'd be like, I hate the mall. It's a capitalist establishment designed to benefit the rich. And I'd be like, all right. You want to come? Yeah, I want to come to the mall. Okay, great. Sounds good. Thanks, man. And so he's very flat affect. He's just got no response in his face or whatever. I remember being there for the first time when he met his nephew. He met his nephew for the very first time, this brand newborn, and his sister hands him the nephew, and he grabs him out like this. And oh, wow. Thanks, guys. I'm so happy for you. And hands it back. I'm like, really? You're happy for us? That's awesome. I'm having a hard time guessing it right now in this moment. You know, you're not really showing it because there's no expression. There's no external response. You see, worship is not about the externals. Understand that this morning. It's not about you raising your hands or clapping or singing or bowing or any of those things. But it's pretty hard to say your heart is in the right place if your external expressions of worship don't show it. Because our external expressions of praise and worship reveal the attitude of the heart. Well, some of us might say, listen, Zach, that's great. I just don't worship that way. It's just not my style. The truth is, you are. You are a worshiper that way. The problem is, we're just giving that worship to something else. All of us, at one point in time or another, have been to a concert or a sports game, or we've been excited about a movie or a TV show, and we've been jubilant in our response. We have responded with some sort of external praise. Some of you got dancing a little bit, right? Right? Some of you raising your hands, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's the Newsboys, or something like that. I don't know. One of those guys. You know, and you get involved with it. All of us are worshipers. The expression of praise and excitement and thanksgiving is just being spent on something else. It's good worship of a bad God. Then we come into church and we offer bad worship to a good God. So how do we change that? How do we change that in your life and mine? Because I believe that worship brings freedom in your life and mine. When we experience the presence of God in worship, then the freedom that follows praise is a freedom you can't explain or experience. You can't explain, but you can experience. You need to experience this in your life. So how do you change this? How do you bring good worship to a good God? I believe it starts with preparing our hearts. We come into his presence. That is why every single Sunday we have pre-service prayer here before the service. Did you know that? Every single morning, every single Sunday, before we gather for this gathering, we pray. Not because we just feel we need to pray, we got to get it in there, check the box. No, because we are preparing our hearts to hear from God. And when I pray, I feel more built up and more ready to experience God in worship. It's not taking me 2-3 songs to get ready into God's presence because I'm already coming into worship built up and prayed up and ready to experience God's voice. That's why we pray before the service. I believe it starts with preparing our hearts before God. And it's tonight and today, as we are beginning to prepare our hearts to respond in worship today, I want to invite the band up. And what we're going to do here just for a few moments, I want to help you. I want to give you a moment to prepare your heart to enter into worship here this morning. What I want to do here for just a few moments as the band returns is to help give you a chance to get your heart prepared and to begin to think about who God is and just to visualize what he did for you. Through his son, the sinless and perfect son of God, he was obedient even to death on the cross. He suffered, he bled, he died for you, carrying all your sin, all your shame, all your mistakes. He wore it like a coat, and he let it kill him. Jesus defeated death, though. He defeated hell and the grave. He rose from the dead, and he ascended to the right hand of God the Father. And at this moment, right now, in heaven, he makes intercession for you. That means he's praying for you right now, even if you're not aware of it. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying for you. He didn't leave you. He'll never leave you. He sent his Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead to live and to dwell within your life. In view of that, he says, I'm going to come. I'm going to fill your heart. I'm going to renew you. I'm going to lead you into my hope and my fulfillment in your life. In view of that, in view of who God is and what he's done, when your heart is right before him, sometimes you just have to creatively express from the heart thanksgiving and respond to who God is and what he's done for you. And when you recognize all that Jesus has done for you, when you understand who he is and how he's working in your life, worship is our right response. So what's your response this morning? Maybe your response is kneeling before the Lord. We come to this place of kneeling. The Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might lift you up at the right time. Maybe some of us got to humble ourselves before the Lord and recognize, I just need to surrender to you this morning. I need to get down on my knees. This is uncomfortable. This is awkward. People might look at you. This isn't about you. This is about God. It's about surrendering before him. The psalmist says in Psalm 96, verse 5, he says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before our Lord, our Maker. Maybe you need to raise your hands this morning and worship. We talk about worship, raising our hands is this twofold symbol. Raising our hands is this victory. My team won. I am so excited, and I raise my hands in victory, but I also raise my hands in surrender. And we believe that when you lift your hands in this place, you get to experience both at the very same time. Victory and surrender, all at once. Paul says to Timothy, he says, in every place of worship, I want people to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger, free from controversy. We lift holy hands to the Lord. Maybe you need to open your hands this morning. Maybe you don't want to do this, but you need to do this. Maybe you need to open up and surrender and let go of a few things. Maybe you've been holding on to some anger, some bitterness, some pride, and maybe there is a place for you to begin to grasp that, hold on to it, feel it, get angry about it, and then let it go to Jesus. And release that this morning. And open your hands and your heart to receive what God wants to give you today. The Bible says he wants to give his Holy Spirit freely to those who ask. And then maybe we just need to come and just offer a sacrifice of praise. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice, which means you worship him when you feel it and you worship him when you don't. Because faith follows action, not the other way around. And there's times in your life and mine when you and I need to choose to worship, not because we feel it, but precisely because we don't. Because worship is not based on our circumstances, on the environment, on the songs, on the external factors. Worship is not based on my preferences. It's not based on whether things are good in my life. Worship is based on who God is. In other words, this isn't praise for the what. This is praise for the who. I'm praising God for who he is. So would you stand with me this morning as we begin to declare who God is in this place? We're going to take the lights down here as we do that. Who is our God in this place? Who is our God? Our God is our rock. He is our redeemer. He is our righteousness. The Bible says our God is our deliverer and our defense. He is our shield. He is our help. He is our salvation. He is our strength. Who is our God? He is the bread of life. He is the living water. He is the good shepherd. He is the true vine. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He says, he is the way, the truth, the life. Who is Jesus? He is the light of the world. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Lion of Judah. My God is all powerful. He is all present. He is all good through and through. He's the Alpha. He is the Omega. He's the beginning and he is the end. Jesus is the soon returning, conquering King of kings and Lord of lords. In view of who God is, we respond with right worship. Because worship is not about the songs that we sing. Worship is about the life that we live. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning to worship God with me. Maybe you've been realizing, as I've been talking, you've been more concerned with appearances than you first thought. Maybe you've been realizing this morning you've been more concerned with the style of music or with the setting or with the sound or with the song choice. Maybe you've been concerned with the way it looked if people were watching you. I want to encourage you this morning. Nobody's watching you. The focus isn't on you this morning. The focus is on Jesus. If you've been concerned with externals and the way people are looking, I want to encourage you today, this is one of the reasons we take the lights down in worship. To take the focus off of us and put it back on God. No one's watching you here today. Maybe you need to take the focus back off of you and put it back on to Jesus. If you've been concerned with externals, with appearances, I believe the Lord is calling us back to true worship in spirit and in truth this morning. If you say, Zach, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I feel far from God right now. I'm not feeling it. I don't know where he is in my life, but I want to be closer to him. I want to experience that freedom that you're talking about. That's you today. I want to encourage you. Would you begin to lift your hands in worship today? Would you begin to lift your hands in surrender? Maybe you need to begin to let go. Maybe you need to begin to kneel and bow in his presence this morning and begin to offer a sacrifice of praise. Respond with open hands and letting go. Respond with kneeling and humbling yourself before the Lord this morning. Respond with lifted hands in surrender and in victory. Whatever you need to do, I want to encourage you to begin to respond this morning. Let's begin to do that right now, church. Let's begin to respond to the Lord right now in this place. However you need to do it, this is between you and Jesus now. Nobody's watching. Nobody's looking. This is between you and your God today. If you've been realizing that, I've been too concerned about externals, too concerned about appearances. I'm worried what people will think. What if someone stares? This isn't about that today. This is about you finding freedom in Jesus as you begin to worship and respond to who our God is and what he is doing for you and will do for you this morning. Whatever you need to do, I want to encourage you. Begin to do that this morning as we sing these songs. It's not just the music out of my mouth. It's the response that comes from my heart. Worship isn't the songs that I sing. Worship is the life that I live. So let's worship the Lord this morning, church.